1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning. I want to speak to you on the second half about this idea of giving thanks unto the Lord. Last week, talked about the kind of, I don't know how else to describe it, but the negative side of thanks. And this morning, I want to speak to you about the positive side of thanks. Looking at this idea of giving thanks, say thanksgiving. Giving thanks, thanksgiving unto the Lord. Now, last week, right, we talked about this idea of not murmuring, not grumbling, not complaining. And we challenged you to go a week without complaining. Can I ask you? How did you do? How many of you, I want to ask this question. How many of you feel like you went the entire week without complaining? Would you just, you're not bragging on yourself. You're giving thanks to the Lord that he gave you the strength. You would just lift your hand and say, you know what? I made it. A few of you. Good. Hey. Some of you are saying, you know what? I didn't say a word all week and that's why I did that. No, I get it. How many of you sometime during the week, you caught yourself, the Spirit of God checked you, or you caught yourself and you said, you know what? I need to stop that right now because I don't want to be a complainer or a murmurer or a grumbler. How many of you, the Spirit of God checked you during the week? Awesome. You know what? That's the Word of God in you. Incredible. And this morning, I want to speak to you on the other side of that, about this idea of you and I giving thanks. I entitled the message, Another Evidence. You say, what does that mean, Pastor? Another Evidence. Well, I felt like the Spirit of God dropped this in my heart because I'm an Assemblies of God minister. And the Assemblies of God has 16 tenets of faith. That means doctrines that they hold to be true. It starts out with one. Number one is the inerrancy and the inspired word of God. That's what we believe that we should preach. It's God's breathed word to our hearts and our lives. One of the tenets of faith is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we believe that for a believer, they can have a crisis experience. By crisis, I don't mean bad. I mean a moment in time, a crisis event where they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we know that they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. The doctrine is called initial evidence, the initial physical evidence that when somebody is baptized in the Holy Spirit, they will begin, the beginning evidence of their life is that they will begin to speak in other tongues. I thank the Lord. I don't shy away from that. I want that for this church. I want that for your lives. I thank the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I pray in tongues on a regular basis. I pray in tongues daily. I pray in tongues when I'm driving. I pray in tongues when I'm moving about my tasks. And I thank the Lord that we have that privilege to pray in tongues and to pray the perfect prayer because the Spirit of God is praying through you. That said, that is the initial physical evidence that somebody has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you believe that, say amen. I believe you do. I entitled the message, Another Evidence, because of this. If you look throughout the Word of God, you will see on a regular basis this idea of a person being Spirit-filled. There is always connoted, or often is connoted, the baptized, Spirit-filled life, the Spirit-controlled life, connected with giving thanks. A person that is Spirit-filled, the person that is full of God, is going to be a person that regularly gives thanks. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about the will of God concerning you is to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and give thanks in everything. Colossians chapter 2, we looked at last week. A person that is full of the Spirit of God will be full of thanks. We look at the word today that you and I are commanded as God's children to be a people that are offering thanks unto the Lord. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word today? How many of you want to live as a thankful person? Say amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I want to pick up reading just some quick statements about the Spirit-filled life in 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's pick up reading at verse number 16. Be joyful, say joyful. Sometimes? No. Be joyful always, praying continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Read verse 18 with me aloud, would you, please? Once or twice. Let's read it. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. One more time. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this holiday weekend that we've been able to lift up a voice of thanks unto you. Lord, we've come here today not to hear a man. People will be disappointed if they came to hear Bradley Trask. But Lord, if they came to hear a word from your throne to their lives, they can be changed by the power of God's word. So Lord, if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love. I pray over these next few weeks as we head towards the celebration of your birth. May we take note afresh how thankful we can be and should be, Lord, for what you did for us. You're the only person, individual, that ever chose to be born. And Lord, you did it so that you might give yourself as a gift to us and for us. And for that, we shall ever be thankful. Lord, I pray in these next few minutes, your word would come alive. And Lord, your name would be exalted in Jesus' name. And all God's people would say, amen. You may be seated. You see a picture on the screen of a football player that I greatly admired. His name is Reggie White. Reggie White is familiar to football fans. Some of the Brighton team is here, Reagan, and we were so proud of you this past weekend, Brighton football team. And you made the whole town proud. We're grateful for that, buddy. But Reggie White played for the Philadelphia Eagles, Green Bay Packers, and then closed out his career with the Carolina Panthers. He died at a very early age. The doctors did, that it was really from sleep apnea. He died at age 43. He was very open about his faith as a football player, Hall of Fame defensive tackle. He was unashamed to let people know that he was a football player that loved Jesus Christ. His nickname was then given to him as the Minister of Defense. One time during his career, he was going to be a free agent. And he was leaving the Eagles, or open to leaving the Eagles. And he made it known that Reggie said, I'm going to go wherever God directs me, wherever it's his will for me to go. The Green Bay Packers were led by head coach Mike Holmgren and president Ron Wolf at the time. And Holmgren heard that Reggie White would go wherever God wanted him to go. And so he called and left a message on Reggie White's answering machine. And he said, Reggie, this is God. I want you to play in Green Bay. He ended up playing in Green Bay. George W. Truett said, the will of God, to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is the greatest achievement. When it comes to knowing God's will, we covered it a couple weeks ago, didn't we? Sometimes we would just like to know that we know that we know, and we'd almost like the Lord to leave a message for us on our voicemail or on the answering machine, what it is that we're to do. Can I tell you this morning on this Thanksgiving weekend, I want to declare, if you look closely at the Word of God, you're going to see that a person that is filled with the Spirit of God will speak in other tongues. Make no mistake about it. Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19. I believe when a person is filled with the Spirit of God, they speak in other tongues. But I also want you to know, a Spirit-filled person ought to and should live with an attitude of gratitude, for that is God's will for their lives. I want you to look at three ideas regarding the Spirit-filled life this morning. And I want you to apply them to your life, if you would, from the Word of God. Very simple. Eli and Ellie at their age could understand. First off, I want you to understand, gratitude is always to be expressed. gratitude is always to be expressed by a believer. Now, that's not just good advice, Brighton, because a grateful person, I've seen this. A grateful person is a happier person, a healthier person, a holier person. But it's more than just good advice. That is given to us in the Thessalonian literature here. It's given to us in the imperative mode, if you will. And it's meant for you and I to follow as a command. It's not just an option to be grateful. It's an obligation for the believer. You're obligated because you've surrendered your life to Jesus and you follow him by faith. The fact of the matter is that you and I ought to be people that are giving thanks. I would even say, I put down in my notes, I believe that it's great, no greater sin on the face of the earth than the sin of ingratitude in our lives. The blind poet Milton, he said, quote, "He that is ungrateful has no guilt but one. All other crimes may pass for virtues in him." Shakespeare himself described ingratitude like this. He called it a marble-hearted fiend. How sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child. I know of nothing that stings the heart of a mom or a dad than to see some child of theirs that is ungrateful to him or to her. There was an anonymous writer, we don't know who it was, but they said, "The thief may have some streaks of honesty in him, the deadbeat spots of honor, the libertine occasions when he has impulses to be pure, but there is nothing redemptive in the ingrate." Ingratitude, Brighton, is a sign of rank worldliness. It's the mark of an unbeliever. We're never, as believers, we're never more like an unbeliever than when we're ungrateful. And Paul, when he was describing to the law what a lost world looks like in the end times, you know what he said? Romans chapter 1, look at it on the screen. "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, their foolish hearts were darkened." We're never like more like the lost than when we're ungrateful. That's why gratitude is always to be expressed in our lives. You know what? You and I need to be people who are faithfully taught within the Word of God. You know what? Be people of gratitude. Can I ask you? Have you ever thanked the person that led you to Jesus Christ? Have you ever thanked the Sunday school teacher that has faithfully taught God's word or instructed your children in the Sunday school class? Have you ever thanked a mom or a dad for loving you and giving you a good home? Have you thanked your helpmeet, that means your spouse, for being an incredible husband or wife, for helping lead the family, being a godly mom or a dad to your kids? It's not just meant, I would submit to you that it's better for us to say thank you and not necessarily mean it wholeheartedly than to say it and not mean it, if you will, or to mean it and not say it. Gratitude is always to be, say it with me, expressed. Secondly, gratitude is always to be expansive. Look what the word tells us there. We're to give thanks, we're instructed, absolutely do it. In all circumstances, those three words, in all circumstances, make this verse a little bit different. Because if it just said, give thanks in most things, or give thanks when everything's really good, Brad, you know what? I would find it easier and accept it and obey it a lot easier way. But the Bible says we're to give thanks in everything. Say everything. Now, I want you to hear me, right? Nowhere in the Word of God does it ever say, you know what, we're commanded to feel grateful. Feelings, you know what, they're flawed, aren't they? Feelings kind of come and go, if you will. But the fact of the matter is, you know what, we can feel it based upon, did we get enough rest? Did we, what's the function of our liver of the from the previous day? The fact of the matter is, our feelings are not the basis of our gratitude. We're commanded not to feel grateful. We're commanded to give thanks. And you say, well, Brad, that's easy for Paul to write as he's writing to the Thessalonians, the Colossians, the Ephesians, be thankful. Can I tell you? Paul when he was in Thessalonica, they had the threat of losing his life. He was beaten, he was whipped, he was imprisoned, he was shipwrecked, he was stoned and left for dead. And yet he says, give thanks in all circumstances. In Acts chapter 16, we're told that Paul and Silas were beaten with rods. They were whipped and scourged, then thrown into a Philippian prison. And instead of sighing and saying, oh, woe is me, what did they do? They lifted up a voice of thanksgiving song. So what does in all circumstances mean? It means that you and I are to thank the Lord for the blessings of life. Thank the Lord in the blessings. The word of the Lord says, Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth and he adds no trouble to it. Say, Pastor, am I going to get rich? I can tell you, if you give thanks to the Lord, he will bless you beyond your measure. The word says there, if you are a Christian, we've been blessed. And we realize as children of God how blessed we are. Can you say amen? A Christian, I put down in my notes, someone said, a Christian is someone that does not have to consult his bank book to really realize how wealthy he or she is. Do you thank God, right, for just the everyday blessings? For the food that you have had over this weekend? Do you thank God for your daily bread? Give us this day our daily bread. Do you realize that 2/3 of the world goes to bed hungry every night? 1/3 of the world is underfed. The other 1/3 is starving. You and I, the fact of the matter is, if you study it, it's not exaggerated. It's not conjured up. Brighton, 30 people starve on this earth every minute of the day. We know that you and I, we can even thank the Lord in the dirty dishes that we have. I love the poem. Thank God for the dirty dishes. They have a tale to tell. While others may go hungry, we've eaten very well. With home, health, and happiness, I shouldn't want to fuss. By the stack of evidence, God's been very good to us. Brighton, do you ever thank God for the water that you have? Did you know that only 3% of the water on the face of the earth is fit to drink? But over half of the world has no access to drinking water. But you and I live right in the middle of these great lakes where we have plenteous water. And we're grateful for the blessings of life. We can thank the Lord even for the smallest of things. The blessings of life I want to be grateful for. But I not only want to be grateful for the blessings, I want to be grateful in the burdens of life. Secondly, we're told to give thanks in all circumstances. Notice Brighton there. Did you see it? It doesn't say thank the Lord for the burdens of life. It says thank the Lord for everything, not in everything. But not necessarily for everything, but in everything, I'm meant to give thanks in every circumstance. We're not to be thankful for the trouble, but I'm to be thankful in the midst of the trouble. In fact, I would submit to you, even one of the purposes of the trials and tribulations of life is that you and I would be moved to give thanks. Thanks be unto God. Can I tell you, you can give thanks in every circumstance of life. I believe that. I tell the story, if you've been a part of the church for any length of time, you remember me telling about Alexander White, this great Scottish preacher. You know what? He really bugged some of his board members because he was always giving thanks no matter what. And one very, very snowy Sunday, the crowd was decimated. There was just a handful of people. And one of the board members leaned over to his comrade and said, well, I want to see what pastor's thankful for today. So Alexander White, when he came out to call the people to worship, he lifted up hands and he said, Lord, I look out today and I thank you that every day is not like today. Sometimes we just even have to do that. The burdens in life and in our hearts and lives, Brighton, are so that we can be pointed to the person of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In the middle of the trials the Corinthian church was having and Paul was experiencing, look what he said. And all this is for your benefit, so that grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. everything that happens to you. Look up here, Brian, because if you miss this, don't miss. If you miss everything else, don't miss this today. Everything that happens to you happens for you. Everything that happens to you happens for you. That is, that you could give thanks in every situation. Not for everything, but you could give thanks in that circumstance. Regardless of how it may seem to you, God wants to use every avenue that is taking place in your life to move you to a place where you can give thanks. Matthew Henry, I've got his massive one-volume commentary in my library, in my office. And he's a famous Bible teacher. You'll hear preachers quote Matthew Henry often. He was once attacked by thieves and robbed of all his money. And he wrote these words in his diary that day. He said, quote, "I'm so very thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, although because they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, I'm thankful because although they took everything I had, it wasn't very much. And fourth, I'm thankful because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." There's a guy that can give thanks. Do you thank him for the bad times or the difficult times as well as the good times? Do you thank him in the midst of trouble, Bright, as much as you do in the midst of triumph? We thank him for the sun. Do you thank him for the rain? We thank him for joy. Do we thank him for pain? We thank him for gains. Do we thank him for losses? We thank him for blessings. Do we thank him for crosses? We thank the Lord for the blessings. Say blessings. Say burdens. And benefits. We thank him for the benefits of life. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Do you ever thank God just for the benefits of being one of his children? Do you thank him for just being one of his living creatures that can lift up a voice of praise? Do you thank him for letting you live on his green earth? Aren't you thankful you don't even have to pay taxes for the sunlight? You don't have to be charged to listen to the birds sing. You say, well, that's really strange. Can I tell you? Study this when you get a chance. 18th century houses in England had one of the most unreasonable taxes that were ever given. They had what was called a window tax. And people were charged, if they had more than 6 windows in their house, they were taxed for the use of the sun, if you will. True story. Aren't you grateful for the air that you breathe, the 3? Aren't you glad that, you know what, you can smell a rose and just take it in? Have you ever thanked the Lord for just the benefits of living in America? You know, Rhonda's helped me regarding stuff like that. Can I tell you? So sometimes when I've bellyached in the past, and I have, I confess that. Not this past week, but I have. You know what? She'll look at me and she'll just say, Brad, thank the Lord we got the money to pay for it. You know, that's the right attitude. In Russia, a man or a woman has to work for about an hour to be able to just buy a loaf of bread. In America, on average, it takes 6 minutes. For a quart of milk, it takes the average Russian to work 1 hour and 11 minutes. It takes us about 9 minutes. For a suit of clothes for the Russian, many people have to work 583 hours. For the average American, about 20. A plain cotton dress in Russia, somebody has to work about 225 hours. An American works for about 4. Don't forget the benefits of the Lord that he's given to us. And give thanks always for all that he's done. Ephesians 5:20. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ever study that, the history of Thanksgiving? Some trace it back to Lincoln, but it really does, from what I've been able to find and ascertain, all the way back to Washington. On the fourth Thursday, 1789, George Washington declared, the fourth Thursday of November, it would be a day of Thanksgiving in America. And I'd say that's great, but the Word of God declares for the believer that Spirit-filled, every day ought to be a day of thanks. Expressed, say expressed. Say expansive in all circumstances. Thirdly, gratitude is always to be expected. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I want to give you a true or false question. How many of you were like me that weren't super scholarly in high school? You appreciated those true and false questions because you had a 50-50 chance of getting it right, right? Can I ask you a true or false question? The only way to please God is to be obedient to His will. True or false? True. You're right. We're to give thanks in all things, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I don't care. I mean, I care, but I really don't care what you're going through right now. You still have to be a person of gratitude. I don't care even, Brighton, what burdens I'm asked or you're asked or expected to bear, or even what tribulations or trial you might be in. There's not anything that you're going through that you can't find a wellspring of thanksgiving that you could give thanks unto the Lord for all that He has done. The only way to please God is to be obedient to His will. Now, why does gratitude? So I want to close with this question. Why does gratitude please the Lord so much? I submit to you, Brighton, gratitude is a mark of a growing Christian. When you're giving thanks, you're signifying, you know what? Hey, I'm a growing believer in the things of God. It's a real test of your character. How many of you are parents out there? Lift your hand. Okay? Good portion. How many of you have ever been a child at one time or another? All of us ought to raise our hand. Good, 100%. Now I want to ask the parents and the children. Do you as a child, or have you ever in your children ever heard them in the first words that they've ever spoken, the first words to be thank you? Yeah. Mother of four over here, she gets it. What am I getting at? Gratitude does not come naturally to us. It's something that has to be learned. You can take a little baby boy or girl, and if they have colic, and you can walk the floor with them for 7 hours in the middle of the night, and when you put that child down, they'll look up at you, and there's no way they're going to say, thanks, Mom, thanks, Dad, thanks, Grandpa, Grandma. They won't to thank you. They'll immediately just yell a little bit louder, pick me back up. But don't blame them. They're a baby. You have to teach a child. We're teaching Eli and Ellie. Hey, thank Nana and Grandpa. Thank people. Thank your teachers. Thank people for taking care of you. Thank your teachers. Thank your principal, Mr. Yates. You almost at times, again, it had to be done to me and you. You have to force them to say thank you. Love the story of one little lady. She was gave her grandson a piece of cake. And the little boy said, thank you. And she said, I love to hear a little boy say thank you. He said, well, if you'll put some ice cream on it, I'll say thank you again. We expect that out of children, don't we? But friend, it's ungrateful to continue to be as a spiritual baby. If you have no gratitude in your heart, you simply show where you're at spiritually. You might have the body of Adonis or Atlas, but you got the soul of a fourth grader if you're not a grateful person. Gratitude is a mark of a growing Christian. It's the mark of a giving Christian. You say, oh, I knew we were getting around to giving. Well, the whole holiday is about thanksgiving. Oh, I'm not talking about resources or finances only, but that's part of it. Everything that I have is a gift from God. My time, you know what? My time, my treasure, my talent, it's a gift from God. James chapter 1, if you're taking notes, verse 17. I didn't have Tiff put it on the screen, but listen to this. James 1:17. Every good gift, say every good gift. And every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. If you're a grateful Christian, right, you're going to be a giving Christian. Just the bottom line. Thanksgiving is to truly be thanksgiving is first giving thanks and then giving. I'll put this, summarize it if I can. Hear my heart. You can give without being thankful, but you can't be thankful without giving. People give sometimes. You know, it's just, hey, I get the tax write-off, or I give it to be philanthropic, or, you know, somebody's clanging the bell out there. You know, it's try and go, do with me. If you're going through the door, just try with me. You know, Salvation Army, I don't know their core values now. I know what their roots are. But, you know, I know they try and feed the hungry. So when I go at the holiday season, every time I go by that bell, I try and give something. But I got to tell you, I went with my wife this past week, and the people ringing the bell, they were talking to, there were two people talking to each other, and we put it in there, and on the way into the Macy's, and on the way out, they kind of looked at us like, hey, you going to help us out here? And I almost turned around and said, I gave on the way in, but you guys were talking. Just guilt on my part, I know. But can I tell you, you and I, we have so much to be thankful for, and we have to be people that are givers. You know what? Hey, we acknowledge, Lord, you've blessed us, and every good gift comes down from you. I love this little poem. The man asked, must I keep on giving again and again? Oh, no, said the angel, and his glance pierced me through. Just give until the master stops giving to you. He's never going to stop giving to us. It's growing Christians that are thankful. It's giving Christians that are thankful. And as the worship team comes back, it's glowing Christians. We end up where we started last week. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, Psalm 92:1. An attitude, Brian, if you miss everything else I say, hear me. An attitude of gratitude will change your life. People that are thankful people, they it shields them from cynicism. It keeps them from criticism. It really protects us when we're thankful from pessimism. It'll draw you. If you're a thankful person, it'll draw you closer to God. How many of you want to be closer to the Lord? I do. Be a person that is continuously giving thanks to the Lord. I covered it last week, but let me read it again. Philippians 2:14-15. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like lights in the world full of crooked and perverse people. Let me just say this now. I know it's been a message to believers on this Thanksgiving weekend. But if you're not yet a Christian, the best way to express your gratitude to God Almighty is by surrendering to Him and being saved from your sins. The greatest gift you could give is to say, Lord, I give my life back to you. I love to be around people, don't you, that are grateful. I love to be around people that want to offer praise unto the Lord. I love to be around people that say, thanks, Lord, for every good and perfect gift. I close with a story I read a number of years ago. And whenever I come to Thanksgiving, I think of this story, quite honestly. And I'd like to ask you to stand with us as we begin to close the service. I'm a long-term preacher. I've been here 27 years. But there's a man that I admire greatly, that he pastored First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas for more than 40 years. His name is W.A. Criswell. One of the phrases that I remember from W.A. Criswell that has affected my life is, he said, the key to long-term pastoring is expository preaching. That's why I try and preach line upon line, precept upon precept. Expository preaching. But I also love the story about W.A. Criswell, and it's this. Before he pastored in Dallas, Texas, he pastored a small church in Chickasha, Oklahoma. And while he was doing visitation one day, he visited and knocked at the door of this resident. And he said that he found this woman all by herself living in this dilapidated little old house. He described his visit by saying, you know what? There came to the door a woman who looked more like wretchedness than any countenance or figure that I had ever seen. He stated to her, I've come to see you, ma'am. And she responded, what do you want? I'm the pastor and I'm here to visit you. There's no need for anybody like you around here. She replied, I don't believe in God. And then she cursed the name of the Lord. Then she began to tell Criswell her story. Her husband had moved the family to Oklahoma. Her husband died. The children scattered. She lost her eyesight, leaving her in poverty. And she became a bitter and angry woman. Then she said to the pastor, she said, I write poetry. Would you like to hear some? Criswell, being polite pastor, said, okay. She began to recite a poem. I hate Oklahoma, not the land of my native birth, but a land by all the gods that be, a scourge on the face of the earth. I hate Oklahoma. I hate Oklahoma, where the centipede crawls in your bed at night and the rattlesnake lifts its fangs to bite. Where the lizard and scorpion play on the sly and the lonesome vultures sail high in the sky. Where water and food are an eternal lack and a man's best friend sticks a dagger in your back. I hate Oklahoma. Criswell said, all of her poetry was like this. She was an unthankful, bitter old woman who saw difficult things in life and then dwelled upon them. A few weeks passed after his visit, and the funeral home called, and they connected Criswell with the lady somehow, some way, and he was invited to do the funeral service for her. And W.A. Criswell said, it's the only service that he could ever remember where nobody came to the funeral. He said there was just one somebody besides the pastor, and it was the woman in the plain pine box. And Criswell summed it all up with these words. He said, ingratitude has no friends. What a powerful word. I submit to you, there's another evidence of the Spirit-led believer and Spirit-controlled believer. Not just speaking in other tongues, although I thank the Lord for that. A Spirit-controlled believer is going to be somebody that is continually giving thanks.